Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello everyone, Charles Watts here. Welcome back to Inside Arsenal. I hope wherever you're watching this around the world, you're having a very good Wednesday. We are getting halfway through the week now. Saturday is not too far away. What a big, big Saturday that is going to be for Arsenal when Brentford come to town. 5:30 p.m. kickoff on Saturday evening at the Emirates. Win that game and Arsenal will be top of the Premier League for the first time since Christmas. And they can put their feet up, sit back and watch what happens at Anfield on Sunday when Liverpool take on Manchester City. Someone is going to drop points. Both teams might well drop points. So if Arsenal win against Brentford on Saturday, they will certainly be second come the end of the weekend, but could potentially be top. That would be very nice indeed going into the international break. So we'll look at that game in today's show. Going to focus a little bit on Aaron Ramsdale, who will get his big recall for the first time in a while on Saturday. His chance to play a part in Arsenal's title push. We'll look at that, look at what sort of impact that potentially could have on the defence that has been so watertight in recent weeks. We'll look at what Mika Beerus has been having to say. Really good interview from Mika Beerus with iNews today. I did retweet it earlier. I'm also going to drop the link to the interview down in the description if you want to have a read of it. Go over a couple of things he's had to say, but it's well worth reading the entire interview. It's a really good interview actually from Beerus. So that's in the description below. We'll look at what he's had to say. We'll have a look at the sort of latest team news ahead of the game against Brentford at the weekend. Got plenty of questions and comments from you as well. So let's get going in today's show, shall we? And I wanted to start on the goalkeeping situation because an interesting one. Samuel here has got in touch. One of the many comments that was coming ahead of the game at the weekend says, "Hi, Charles. With Ramsdale having to play against Brentford, I thought it would be interesting to consider how this will affect our team and defence. Considering our defensive form over the past seven games, it's been excellent, but with Raya having to make very few saves generally. I wonder if you reckon this is part due to the way we set up with Raya in goal and how much, if at all, you reckon that changes might change with Ramsdale at the back." Really interesting question there, I thought, from Samuel. And yeah, so Aaron Ramsdale is going to get his recall this weekend, no doubt about that. Raya can't play because Arsenal are playing Brentford, and part of the loan agreement for the season, Raya can't play against his parent club, just like he didn't in the game at the G-Tech earlier in the season. He won't again on Saturday. That should be Ramsdale's third appearance against Brentford this season, because he was also in goal against them in the League Cup game. Two very different performances from Ramsdale in those games. In the League Cup game, he was excellent. In the league game, a little bit shaky, certainly in that first half where he looked very, very nervy when there was lots of focus on him. Did improve in the second half, got his clean sheet. But there were certainly a lot of questions raised from that performance and how nervy he looks. So I think it's really interesting what sort of impact this will have at the weekend. I mean, Samuel's right to point out Arsenal's defensive record has been exceptional, virtually exemplary since the turn of the year. Barely conceding any goals, three of them in the league. Barely conceding any shots on goals. So Raya hasn't actually been called into action that much with his hands in a sort of general goalkeeping point of view. But I still think he's had a big, big say in what Arsenal are doing defensively because of the way he plays, because of his starting position, because of how aggressive he is. We see at times he can be caught out by that. I know a lot of people point to the goal in Porto. Personally, as I said at the time, I don't really feel that was his error, but maybe if he was further back towards his line, he would have been able to save that shot. The same goes for Mudryk's mishit cross that went in against Chelsea. So there's been a couple of occasions where that aggressive approach that Raya has and that Mikel Arteta demands from him has potentially cost him in a way. But on the whole, I think it's a really important part of his game. And I think it has played a big part in what Arsenal are doing defensively, because he can play that high line, be that sort of man, almost playing in a sweeper system. So the defence, because a couple of times, certainly in the last couple of games, you've really noticed it, his starting position has got Arsenal out of trouble a few times. But even in the Newcastle game, where Arsenal was so dominant, there was a couple of balls in the first half that went over. And had Raya been a little bit further back on the line, they could potentially have been in, but he was out, he was aggressive, he got on the front foot and he set Arsenal away. And he's so quick to set them away on the counter-attack as well. And that's a big part of the game that we've seen improve in David Raya over the last couple of months, I would say. He's how quick he is when he gets the ball in his hands to get it out and get it off to Martinelli especially. You see Martinelli start running straight away. So it'll be interesting to see what sort of impact it has with Aaron Ramsdale coming back into the team. I'm not worried about Ramsdale from a sort of nervous point of view. I think he was clearly nervous in the game against Brentford. I do think the fact that he's at home this weekend will just take some of that sort of focus away, because the Brentford fans were on him from the start, especially with the Raya connection. He's going to feel nothing but love at the Emirates. You know, this is, I think, since he lost his place in the team, this will be his first game at the Emirates. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, I'm trying to think. He's had the two Brentford away games. He's had the PSV game in the Champions League. I think this will be his first game at the Emirates in front of the Arsenal supporters. So he'll get a lot of love because Ramsdale is so hugely popular at Arsenal. And that hasn't changed just because he's lost his place in the team. So I think he'll get lots of support. I think he'll thrive off that. So I'm not worried about him at all from a, you know, is he going to come in and be a bag of nerves type point of view. I have no issue with that whatsoever. I think the interesting thing is is he going to play in the same way? You know, the defence are used to David Raya now. They know how he's going to play. It took a while, but they know they know what he's going to do. They know where he's going to be. They know what to do as soon as he gets the ball in his hand and the team does. Is that going to change against Brentford? We're going to have to wait and see. But look, Aaron Ramsdale was a top, top goalkeeper. So I don't think it's going to have too much of an impact. That's what I'm saying for now. We'll have to wait and see at the end. Brentford love to get the ball in the box early. You know, that's a key part of their game. They love their set pieces. They love their long throws into the box, you know, hitting Ivan Toney as quickly as they possibly can. We see that all the time when they play. So they're going to do that. You know, David Raya, although he's not the biggest, he's very, very aggressive when it comes to claiming crosses. He's excellent at it. It's one of the biggest strong parts of his game. So Ramsdale is going to need to play on the front foot against Brentford. I think that's going to be really important because he's going to have to come. He's going to have to claim balls into the box. He's going to have to be aggressive. And he's going to have to try and get Arsenal on the counter-attack as quickly as possible. So, yeah, I think it's a really interesting one. I think it's certainly going to generate a lot of focus as we get towards the weekend. I'm sure Mikel Arteta is going to have to face plenty of questions about it. You could tell those questions were annoying him in the build-up to and after the Brentford game at the GTEC Stadium. He's going to have to deal with them again. It'll be interesting what he has to say at tomorrow's press conference at London Colney. So thanks very much for your question there, Samuel. Let me know what you guys think about the Ramsdale being recalled this weekend. What sort of impact, if any, you think it could have on Arsenal's performance and potentially on the result. Okay, so like I said at the start of the show, Mika Beer has done a really good interview with iNews that is well worth your time. I have, as I said, retweeted. It's been done by Oliver Young Miles, and it's a really good interview. And I think Beer comes across really, really well in it. He said a few interesting things I wanted to flag out, but you do go into the description below and read the full interview because it's really interesting about not just about what he is, about the issues he faces at Arsenal trying to break through, how difficult he knows it's going to be. He talks about Arsenal training, everything like that. It's well worth it. So he was asked, I thought these were good comments when he was asked, you know, compare yourself to someone, because he had a really good start to life over in Austria. He's over at Sturm Graz on loan, obviously. He was at Motherwell doing really, really well. Arsenal decided to cut that loan short, much to Motherwell's disappointment, and send him to Sturm Graz, where Arthur Okonkwo had a great loan spell last season. And he's really hit the ground running over there. He's scoring in the league. They're going for the title. There is a couple of points off the top in the title race. They're in the Conference League, where he scored goals in Europe. He's having a really good time for it. And he was asked, you know, so who are you like? Talk to us about who you compare to. So I said, I've said it before. If I compare myself to another player, I'd say a shit Erling Haaland and a shit Harry Kane, a hybrid of them at a much worse level. And he said he was smiling at the time. It says, like Haaland, all I really care about is scoring goals. If you offer me two touches of the ball and two goals, I'd take that. For me, it's all about scoring goals. There are different aspects of the game when scoring goals isn't possible, when the ball is deep. So that's when it's about combining, linking play, holding the ball up like Kane does. Those are the two variables on the pitch. I think it's just when I read the interview, I've never really heard Mickey Beresford. You know, I've never spoke to him, never had the opportunity to speak to him. When I was reading the interview, he just came across as someone who got football. And he certainly had that. He just sounded like he had that kind of ruthless striker aura about what he was saying, I thought. And I thought that just the way he sort of, how he summed himself up as a player there was just an interest. It wasn't just the average sort of stuff that you hear from a player when comparing themselves to someone. And he was also talking a lot about his future, and he admitted he wouldn't have minded leaving Arsenal permanently in January to go to Sturmgratz on a permanent basis, because Sturmgratz had actually been keen on that. So this is what he said. He said he, Andreas Schicker, who's Sturmgratz sporting director, even said himself that they tried to do a permanent transfer. I was open to that as well, but Arsenal weren't looking to allow me to leave. The idea of settling, he was asked, you know, why were you open to leaving Arsenal? And he said, well, the idea of settling down somewhere and not having to think about all the extra stuff, different houses, different places, different cars and all that, it gets a bit boring after a while, trying to find a home. He said it was kind of simple that they weren't for, that I wasn't for sale in January. And I think when he talks about that, it raises an interesting point. You know, when you do send players consistently out on loan, which Arsenal are doing a lot with their young players now, they've moved into that sort of Chelsea approach, the things that Chelsea have done. When you are constantly sending players out from one place to another, year after year after year, for those players, it can get really, really grating, because it is, okay, I go to this part of the country, I go to that part of the country, I go to this different country. And each time you're having to find a new house, settle down somewhere, just about adjust to a new way of living, and then suddenly you've got to do it all over again in another part of the world, just a few months down the line, it can be frustrating. And it's no surprise that players like Beerif, you know, look at the possibility of going somewhere permanently, settling down and really trying to start their career. So it's a fine balancing act, I think, between clubs sending youngsters out on loan consistently, but also ensuring that they can feel settled, because when they feel settled, they're going to play their best football. So it's no surprise that a lot of loan spells just don't work out. I mean, Mika Beerif himself, you know, he's had two great loan spells this season that have worked out. But last year he went to Holland and it didn't work out at all. There's a lot of things have to come together for a move to be a successful one.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
In that interview, which again, I please do say you should read down below, he talks about the challenges he's probably going to face breaking into Arsenal's first team. And he absolutely accepts that it's going to be tough. And he pointed out the fact that when Saka broke into the team, when Emile Smith Rowe broke into the team, players like that, Arsenal were just not as good and it was easier to get chances. But now he talks about how every single game is so important for Arsenal, because any single drop point for Arsenal is so costly when you're up against Liverpool and Liverpool and City and competing for the title, that it is just very, very hard for any sort of fringe player to be given an opportunity, because every single second of every single game is so important when you're going for a league title against teams that just never, ever drop points or barely ever drop points. So he was very, I thought he was very realistic in that. And it does raise a question, you know, what's going to happen to players like Mika Birif? And, you know, if Arsenal, I move on here, Declan Rice has been talking about the need for a striker and all the talk about Arsenal strikers and signing someone in the summer. Declan Rice, after the game against Sheffield United, said, I think there was a narrative that we weren't creating chances, that we needed a number nine. But in all honesty, we've been playing like this all year. All season, we've been playing really well. The goals weren't as free-flowing as they are now, but they were never a problem that we... that we needed a number nine, because we've got Gabby, Kai, Eddie, we've got Leo, who can play as a false nine. Goals are going to come. So I don't think that has ever been a big problem. I think now we're in a really in our groove and we're looking really threatening in front of the goal. And he's right. I mean, God, you look at the numbers, Arsenal are scoring goals consistently. But having said that, I still think Arsenal need a striker. And Leslie here says, hi, Charles, I'm really on the fence about our striker situation, because some games we play like we need a striker, but most games we play like we don't need one. What's your opinion on Arsenal getting a new striker in the summer? I'm still absolutely of the opinion that Arsenal do need to get a new striker in the summer. And I think they will get a new striker in the summer. I think they'll spend pretty big on a new striker this summer. You know, I think it's the right time for Eddie Nketiah to leave in the summer from Arsenal's point of view, and from Eddie Nketiah's point of view. I think it's his time he moved on and tried to make it somewhere else as the first choice. And even if Eddie stayed, I think Arsenal need a striker, but certainly if he goes, they will. But then you look at someone like Mika Birif, who's doing what he's doing away on loan, doing very, very well, making a name for himself. It's like, well, if you're looking for a new striker and yet you've got a striker there who's scoring goals, is it worth bringing him in and giving him a chance? And that isn't that what the academy is for, is to give these players a chance if they're doing well. So it's a tough one to weigh up for football clubs. But I just think ultimately, and Mika Birif kind of touched it on it himself in the interview when he talked about how important every single game is and how every single point is, that it's just very hard to blood these young players now and to give them the opportunities they need to learn, and in the meantime, still pick up the points you need to stay in the title race against a team as ruthless as Manchester City and Liverpool to a certain respect as well. So it's a really interesting one. But in answer to your question, Leslie, I think Arsenal still need a striker. I still think they will get a striker. And I think this summer we'll see a big, big investment in the forward line. Team news-wise, we wait to hear about Gabriel Martinelli. Mikel Arteta's press conference is tomorrow at the Shoulber Realty Centre, London Colney, at 1:30 or 2:30. I can't remember the exact time of it, but he will be speaking. So we'll get an update from him probably on Gabby Martinelli, Bukayo Saka as well. From a Brentford point of view, Brian Mbeumo is back in training, which, great for them. I'm not too happy about. I think he's a really, really good player, Brian Mbeumo. I mean, he's been out for a long, long time. I can't imagine he goes straight into the starting 11 against Arsenal at the weekend, but it's certainly a big boost for them if suddenly you've got Wissa, Mbeumo and Tony all back playing together. I mean, that's a really threatening front line. Score lots of goals. They play really well together. So I'm hoping that Mbeumo isn't fit to play, but Brentford have been pushing out a lot of stuff about him in the build-up to this game at the weekend, the fact that he is back. So, yeah, we'll wait and see. But hopefully some good news from Mikel Arteta on team news when that comes out tomorrow. Right, moving on to some of your questions and comments now. A couple here who have flagged this issue, which I 100% agree with. Hefty Moon says, the removal of assists this year has been ridiculous. And Zip says, the decision not to give Rice the assist is ludicrous. And that's, of course, in relation to Martin Odegaard's opening goal against Sheffield United on Monday night, when Declan Rice got in down the left-hand side, sent the ball into the box, Odegaard tucked it away, and yet Rice didn't get the assist because his cross took a deflection and fell into the path of Odegaard, even though the ball was basically, you know, Rice was trying to get it back into the vicinity of Martin Odegaard. He got in there and was trying to cut it back. And I agree, I think it's ridiculous that you're losing out assists for that. I just don't understand it. I think it's been really, really harsh. We saw it against Burnley when Gabriel Martinelli was denied an assist for Martin Odegaard's goal, when again he got down the left and he just sent the ball in and cut it back. Yes, he might not be aiming specifically for where the ball went, but he was trying to cut the ball back to that sort of area where Arsenal players are always arriving. So to rob him of an assist, I just think it's ridiculous. And again, I was listening to the Arsecast yesterday and they made the point of, if you have a shot, even, you know, and it's on target and it takes a deflection and goes in, it's your goal. Even if the deflection's a massive deflection and it goes from one, it could have been, the shot could have been going into one corner of the goal, it deflects into the other corner of the goal, it's still your goal as long as you're on target. So why, when you're having a cross that you're putting in to a certain area, that it deflects to about 2 yards further back, is it taken away? And I do think it's really harsh, especially in the modern age when assists are now seen as a really, really important sort of barometer in terms of what sort of season you're having. I just think it's really harsh. And yeah, I don't get it. And I can imagine Declan Rice was really disappointed when he came off on Monday night and found out that he had not been credited with the assist for Odegaard's goal. Comrac here says, hi, Charles, big fan of the show, been a daily listener for years. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. So I'm wondering if you've heard anything about the naming of the Emirates Stadium in the future. The proposed original name was Ashburton Grove, which is a lovely name. And I think the stadium, getting the stadium back to the original name would be great for the club and for the fans. Do you think Arsenal would entertain the idea of going with a non-corporate sponsored name for their home ground when the deal expires? No. Simple answer, short answer, no. I think the Emirates deal was just worth so much to Arsenal. It's such an important and steady income stream that they've been so used to since 2006, that the prospect of them suddenly deciding, you know what, we're going to scrap the naming rights and go back to Ashburton Grove. I mean, it was never Ashburton Grove. Ashburton Grove was just the area that the stadium was kind of built on, that initially we started calling it, saying Ashburton Grove, but it's always been the Emirates. And it's a partnership that works very, very well. The club are happy with it. The Emirates Airlines are obviously very happy with it. And I imagine when the new deal, which is coming into fruition this year, starting at the start of next season, I think, when that is due to expire, I'm pretty sure they'll just renew it again. And it's worth so much money for the club that I think you're just kind of, what's the phrase, biting you? No, I'm not even going to say it. I can't even remember what it is. But you're just basically hurting yourself if you suddenly take that money out of the accounts. And so, no, I'd be very, very surprised. As nice as it sounds to be able to not have a sort of sponsorship name or a company name on your stadium, I think it's such an important part of the business plan for Arsenal now that it's just a given that that will continue. KAG2022-03 says, yeah, great win, lots of goals, 5-0 at half time and no minutes for ESR. He'll be leaving for nickels and dimes this summer and having a big impact in some other team and probably in the Premier League. So we'll get to concede his goals. A couple of people had mentioned the fact that ESR didn't come on against Sheffield United. Maybe Arteta could have done it right at the end when he brought on Trossard. You could have brought on Smith Rowe. But, you know, you all know how much of a big fan I am of Emile Smith Rowe and how much I want to see him on the pitch and get in minutes. But I didn't really think it was an issue against Sheffield United just because it was so important to give Partey, Vieira, Jesus minutes because they've been out for so long. And, you know, Smith Rowe has got a fair amount of minutes recently, which has been great. And I've really enjoyed the fact he is getting those minutes. But on this occasion against Sheffield United, I had no issue really with the subs because, you know, Vieira's been out for ages, needed a decent amount of time on the pitch because all these players are going to be so important between now and the end of the season. The squad's going to be huge. It's going to be hugely important. So you want to get any sort of rustiness out of some of these players as quickly as possible. Smith Rowe's played a fair amount recently. Vieira's played nothing. He needed 45 minutes or needed a good chunk of time on the pitch. So I had no issue with him coming on. Same for Jesus, the same with Partey. They all need it. Maybe there could have been, instead of bringing Trossard on, you could have brought Smith Rowe on, but yeah, I don't really see any big issue with it. I know Cedric came on as well, but you're not going to put Smith Rowe on as a right back, are you? So I think Trossard's the only one you could really have an issue with. But yeah, it wasn't one that I have to admit I was too overly disappointed with this time around. LJeff2107 says, hi, Charles. Question, wouldn't we be able to ask the Premier League to facilitate a fixture on March 16th for the teams that are out the FA Cup and that we face after the international break? Not sure if it works in relation to the other teams playing each other in match week 28. Food for thought. Yeah, I mean, look, it's a nice thing to think that they could do it, but it's just that's just not going to happen. The fixture list is kind of pretty much set in stone. Everyone plans for that. You've got sort of policing issues and stuff like that you've already kind of sorted out. Then if you're suddenly trying to bring a game forward at very short notice, getting travel plans sorted for everyone, getting policing in place for the game, security in place, stewarding in place, it's just a really difficult thing to do. So it's easy to look at that fixture and think, why can't we just bring this fixture forward? It'd be great. It'd be easier. It'd solve a load of problems. But ultimately, I think the sort of logistics of all just make it very, very pretty much impossible. And last one here, just from Royal Stad, says, Charles, what's the story on the jersey we see framed on the wall behind you in this video? Also, what's a bit of story on your playing career and your time in the sport? So this is in relation to the video I did yesterday after the game against Sheffield United. The story of that is I was doing that video from my dad's house. I watched the game at my dad's house And that shirt says what? It's an Arsenal old away kit from the 1971 double season. I got it for my dad for his 71st birthday because obviously it was the 71 double season. So it's the old kit and it has what 71 on the back because of it was his birthday and it's signed. I got it signed by the Arsenal squad as well. So that's basically a birthday present I got for my dad. And that's it. And that was his house. And so that was hanging in his house. So that's the story of that picture behind. In terms of story on my playing career or time in the sport, there wasn't one. I was a decent enough footballer, but never any sort of playing at any sort of high level. My brother cruelly robbed me of that chance with a vicious foul in our back garden when he hurt my knee when I was about 11. And I will always, to this day, and if you're watching James or listening over in America, which I know you sometimes do, still haven't forgiven you for that tackle. Vicious tackle it was, honestly. He was just gutted that I, his younger brother, was beating him once again in a game of back garden football. He just went through me, destroyed my knee, and robbed me of any chance of being a professional footballer in the future. So, yeah. Cheers, Jim. Appreciate that, mate. Thank you very much. But so, yeah, that's it. That's the backstory of me in football. Decent enough footballer, but cruelly robbed of the chance of going on to anything more because of my brother and his jealousy at getting beaten at back garden football. Anyway, thank you very much for watching or listening. Everyone, appreciate your time. As always, I'll be back tomorrow to do it all over again. I think myself and James Benj are going to sit down for Inside Arsenal Extra Time tomorrow afternoon as well. So keep your eyes peeled for a double Inside Arsenal tomorrow as we build up towards that big, big game on Saturday. Until then, everyone, have a very good day. Speak to you soon. Bye-bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.